Luke. Luke.
Ben?
You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 172, coming down from Jakku. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Ray to my Padme Amidala, we have Carl LeClaire.
Hello, Mr. Abrams.
Hello, Carl. How are you?
Great. I love that we are women, and we are proud to be women on this episode of the Wampa's Lair.
Yes.
Makes sense. It's Teresa Delgado's birthday today, the most important fangirl in the Star Wars community. So yeah, who better to be than a fangirl?
Yes, exactly.
All right, then.
Happy birthday, Teresa.
Perhaps we should start over.
maybe not. Well, we've had more awkward introductions than this, so I think we should just power through it.
Powering through like a power droid. Gonk, 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 gonk.
Gonk, 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 gonk.
Hey, everybody. We've been away for a while. We've missed you.
Yes.
But I've missed Jason the most. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, I missed you, Carl. Missed seeing your lovely face across from my computer on Skype.
Jason, it's a heat wave in Boston. It's 60 out. It's amazing.
Wow.
I know. I feel like I'm on Jakku. Because I'm sure Jakku's only 60 degrees.
Right.
Even though we
close
can
to the, you know, the 90 degrees we'll get, we got a couple weeks ago here in Arizona.
Ugh, gross. Jason, hey, we've been away for a little bit because we've both been busy as heck.
Yes.
But we thought it'd be fun to do a quick recording about how we are processing kind of the coming down the mountain of the glory that was The Force Awakens.
Yes. You
know, and we put this out there for our Larians to kind of get their, you know, input as well as how they're processing. You know, The Force Awakens is almost 3 months old now. Oh, so cherished. And, you know, how are we kind of coping with I use the word waning excitement difficultly because I don't think there's a waning excitement in Star Wars because we still have so much going on. But, you know, there was so much build up to The Force Awakens.
Yes.
And that's over now, right? It's like Christmas. Yeah. You know, you build up to Christmas Day, and then by December 26th, you have to now process all the great things that happened on Christmas Day. Like when you were a kid, you had to, all right, now how do I integrate these toys into my play world, you know?
Right.
So how are we all integrating and kind of settling into The Force Awakens? And this kind of idea came to me thinking about, like, whenever I go on a retreat, you know, you have like this great retreat experience, and there's this book that I have. It's called Coming Down the Mountain. It's like, how do you process your retreat? How do you process going back into the real world? So how are we going to process kind of this, all of this rich stuff that The Force Awakens gives us, and how have we been kind of keeping that spark alive 3 months later? So that's kind of what this episode is a little bit about. If that makes sense. And, you know, since it was episode 172, we needed to find something that rhymed. So episode 172, coming down from Jakku.
Exactly. There we go. That's precisely how we did that.
Exactly. Now you guys know the method behind the madness.
Yes.
You've peeked behind the curtain, and you are disappointed.
and trust me, recording this podcast is madness. Just like this is madness, the Star Wars Character Tournament coming soon to StarWars.com.
Borrowed from the Wampa's Lair.
Yes.
I give us way too much credit for that.
Yes, we do.
I don't care.
But before we get to that topic, we had a matchup that you came up with, Carl.
Yes, and you know, the matchups, which March Madness now stole from us, borrowed from us.
Borrowed.
You know, which I'm sure, yeah, we're the first Star Wars fans to ever think of this.
Exactly. I mean,
but in light of our episode one episode last time where we looked at Act One of The Phantom Menace, we thought it'd be fun to do a matchup pitting a episode 1 versus an episode 7 character. So we put Pinaka versus Finn. We wanted two kind of non-force users to match up with each other. So we came up with Pinaka versus Finn, and it's kind of a blowout. So Jason, I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right. So we have quite a few responses as we've been getting the more recently, quite a few, more than I can read all of them on the air. So I've selected a couple to read in full. Everyone will get their name mentioned and who they voted for. So let's jump into this. On Facebook, Travis Magruder voted for Finn. Andrew Hansen: Finn was trained from birth in multiple forms of combat, and although he was assigned to sanitation, Captain Pinaka, while also fairly skilled, is from a mostly pacifist planet and probably chose his career later in life. This would have an impact on his ability to react and defend against Finn in serious combat. Gotta give it to the new guy. Nathan Patrick Butler of Star Wars Beyond the Films says Finn, because by the time they could try this, Pinaka would be old as hell. Winky emoticon. James Southern: Finn. Rue Eckhart: nothing credible comes from a traitor except betrayal. So I took that as a vote for Pinaka.
Pinaka.
Jeffrey Fishbach: Finn. Kyle Taylor: Finn. Brian Bailey: Finn. Ian Stancy says it, he thinks it would be close but gives it to Finn. Kyle Avery also gives it to Finn. Joey Letson: the only thing Panaka's good at is shooting windows. Finn wins. Jeff Langrude: Captain Pinaka. Your Highness, this is a battle I do not think we can win. Pinaka loses the battle because of his poor attitude and his strange fashion sense. Jeffrey Beaumont:
wait, who was that? Pinaka.
I'm sorry. That was Jeff Langrude.
Oh, man, that was great. That is great. Because of his poor attitude.
He is the pessimist of the Star Wars universe.
He really is.
More likely that they were wiped out.
I know Joey Letson posted that little meme about, like, where that line, it's like, Optimist of the Day award goes to.
Yes, exactly. Continuing on, Jeffrey Beaumont says Captain Pinaka wins. Ian Rauletta: Finn. Michael Morris: Finn. Michael Wallace: oh, father and son, maybe. I'll go with Finn. His training would have been more intense, while Pinaka is about security on a pacifist world. Justin Rochniak: I hope I pronounced that right. Finn. Travis Fritsch: gotta give it to Pinaka. Finn seems a little gun-shy. Calvin Bigelow: Finn. David Furr: Finn. Roger Tavernier: Finn would win the battle as well as a dance-off. Matthew Marks: Finn. James Bryson Grigger: Pinaka. Cody Murphy: I have to give it to FN2187, a.k.a. Finn Calrissian. Not sure. on Twitter, at Damien Kreese 1 says Finn, and at King Og9 Cubits says Finn. Finn can survive anything. First Order, Jakku, killer monsters, Starkiller Base, lightsaber fight with Kylo Ren. And finally, we got an email from Ethan who says, hey guys, in my opinion, Finn would win. Uh-huh, that right.
Hey!
Just like our title, 172, coming down from Jakku. he continues, says, maybe not easily, but he would win in the end. Finn is a well-trained First Order soldier, whereas Pinaka is the captain of a peaceful planet's police force. Finn has the training and experience to defeat Pinaka. And that gives us a final Larian tally of 23 for Finn and 4 for Pinaka. What say you, Carl?
Finn. I don't know why I came up with this. It was for all the reasons people have pointed out. You know, Finn is somebody who's trained from birth to be a soldier. And we've seen him in combat do pretty darn well. He's good with a gun. He can hold his own in staff weapon fighting. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a lightsaber, but he obviously has some training with, like, a riot baton. So yeah, I mean, and by the way, everybody always points out how, like, even though he worked in sanitation, that's what he did at Starkiller Base. He doesn't spend his whole career there. And just, that doesn't mean he was a janitor either. He could have been overseeing sanitation. I think everybody just, when he says that, I mean, it's a funny line, and it's supposed to kind of point out that he doesn't really have any technical information about Starkiller Base, but I don't think Finn was walking around in civilian clothes with a mop and a sponge. You know, I think he was more than just a sanitation crew guy, but be that as it may, he's still very well trained. And like everyone has kind of pointed out, Pinaka is, he's definitely a warrior to contend with, but he is. I mean, he's the head of a security force on a peaceful planet, and he's really only going into battle against battle droids, which aren't the most. They're kind of an inept foe, you know. Finn was training with other very brilliant military humans as opposed to just battle droids. So yeah, I think Finn's got to win it. As much as I wanted to give it to Panaka, just for the sake of Panaka, yeah, I got to go with Finn. What do you think, Jason?
Well, just to be the voice of opposition,
there we go.
I'm going to make the case for Panaka. Yes, Finn has been trained since birth, but his first real combat experience, he freezes, as we see on Jakku. It's his first mission into combat. He freezes. Panaka, I don't think, would have any qualms about pulling the trigger. He's that grim that he would just be like, fine, you're dead. and also, Panaka's a little bit tricky. He's the one, if you believe, if the legends still holds true, who devised the whole handmaiden decoy. So I feel like he's got a little bit of the sleight of hand advantage.
Jason, where do we learn that? I didn't know that. Where did you learn that? Is that in a novel?
That was, I want to say it was in one of the guidebooks or something like that. One of the big DK books.
Okay.
He was one of the guys who devised the whole handmaiden decoy, and so I feel like he's got a little bit of the tactical advantage against Finn, whereas Finn would probably just sort of charge into battle and hope for the best. I feel like Panaka would be a little bit more strategic.
That is true. Finn says, come get it to Kylo, and then runs at him.
Yes. Yes, not exactly the smartest choice.
like Scorpion in Mortal Kombat, he says, get over here, as he runs at you.
There you go. But yeah, and Panaka is a hardened man to begin with, so I feel like he would be a hardened warrior as well. So yeah, I'll give it to Panaka. But that gives us 24-5 in favor of Finn at the end of it, of this matchup. So next, we will have a poll for you at the end of this episode, which will probably be a little bit more spread out than, you know, this, as far as your responses. And it's a good one, so stick around to the end for that.
Indeed. Jason.
Yes, Carl.
Let's keep the Rolian, the Larian voice rolling. There we go.
All right.
So we asked you guys what you've been doing to kind of digest The Force Awakens, what you're doing now kind of coming down from this extraordinary, awesome experience. Because, I mean, let's be real, Jason, that those months beforehand, I mean, hell, we knew for 3 years building up to it, but especially like just those, just even think of the month of December, those 16 days before it came out, how excited you were all the time.
Yes.
I have not worn so much Star Wars clothing in my life as I did for like those few weeks before. I mean, every day I had to have something Star Wars on, and for weeks after as well. You know, I mean, I know we're not the only ones who were like that. You were all probably like that in your own way too.
Oh yeah.
But it's different now.
It was an immense high. And the thing with Star Wars fandom is that you got your highs and you got your lows. You know, you got your points where you're super excited about stuff and things are, you know, hitting in all the right cylinders for you, and then you hit a low point, you know, and not to say that, you know, it's completely gone away and you've walked away from Star Wars or whatever, but it's just one of those things where it's like the excitement level isn't, you know, there. You just get to your sort of, you know, normal, mundane Star Wars interaction. And so we're trying to figure out, you know, how do you, you know, reinvigorate that excitement, you know, when you get to those lows, you know, you got your peaks and your valleys, you know, how do you get out of your valleys, so to speak? So.
Well, and some people said stuff.
Yes, they did. So I'm going to go ahead and read those from Facebook. I believe these all came from Jessica Baker wrote in saying, by listening to your podcast, of course. Aw, shucks, Jessica. But also Rebels, the impending DVD release, and Lego video game release keep us discussing and wanting more. Brandon Fletcher says, Star Wars enthusiasm never dies.
That's true.
Yes. Jordan Paris, still seeing all of the merchandise everywhere keeps it going for me. That's true. You still can't escape the Star Wars merchandise machine.
Yeah.
Even, you know, almost 3 months after The Force Awakens, it's still everywhere. Michael McLeod says, just had my first baby, so I'm finding ways to add Star Wars to his life until he's ready to watch The Force Awakens himself.
Start him young. That's basically
start him.
Michael's
play the music to make him go to sleep.
Yeah, Michael's baby is basically Finn.
Yeah.
I was taken from a family I never knew and raised to do one thing: love Star Wars.
Exactly.
Except Kyle, he's not taken Avery, from his Kyle, family.
Say what?
Sorry. Except he wasn't actually taken from his family. Obviously,
no. Anyway, I was going to try and say something, but I never mind. Kyle Avery, Kyle Baca, says that he saw Force Awakens 8 times in theaters. It comes out on Blu-ray next month, and Episode 8 just started filming. So I'd hardly say my excitement is waning. But I've also kept my general Star Wars enthusiasm alive by playing lots and lots of Battlefront.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. And guess what, folks?
What?
I'm going to be able to start playing Battlefront.
Shut up, Jason. Really?
Yes.
I got myself a PS4.
When? You tell me nothing.
It came in the mail a couple days ago, but I haven't had a chance to really like set it up and start figuring it all out because I've been working. So this weekend.
Jason, this is why they make sick days. Even if they're fake sick days, they're still sick days. They build them into your budget. Don't Carl, I hope nobody from work is listening.
Carl,
yeah.
My conscience would kill me.
See, just be a Catholic. Go to confession. You'll be fine. Sorry, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Paul Gann.
Wait. Not move on from that topic, Jason. Oh. So you have a PS4 finally?
Yes.
Did you get the Battlefront package?
I did. I got the deluxe Battlefront package.
Excellent.
Which comes with the Star Wars PS4 and controller. So, yes, it'll be great. It's still in the box sitting out by the entertainment center. I have to take down my Wii in order to set it up in the same place. So it's going to be a little bit of a project to get it all up and running. And then, of course, I got to set up my account and all that fun stuff. And
Jason, get to work. This episode of The Wampus Lair is being interrupted for Jason's fun time. Just kidding. That's amazing, Jason. You tell me nothing off air anymore. I feel like
I wanted to surprise you.
Obi-Wan was right. You've changed. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to hear anymore about Obi-Wan. Come on, you're Padme in this episode. I'm just Rey.
No. Then why are you saying Anakin's lines?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we should probably get back to our lyrics.
I'm sorry. Yes, everyone. Sorry. It's total sidetrack there. This is what keeps me excited from the waning days of The Force Awakens. Jason finally getting a PS4 so I can play Battlefront with him.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's fantastic?
It's a whole new word.
It's fantastic. Star Wars fantastic. There you go. All right. Anyways, all right, Paul Gann, who is my co-host from my Talking Time Lords Doctor Who podcast, says, I'm excited about Rogue One, so excitement really hasn't declined for me. Michael Cohen, our good buddy, says that he staves off the waning excitement by watching Star Wars Rebels and listening to the Rebels podcast, of course. Shameless self-promotion on our podcast, Michael Cohen. Matthew Krenke, his co-host, says, yeah, what Mike just said. And Adam J. Taylor says, catching up on my comics and realizing the 100-year darkness, old-school Tales of the Jedi Old Republic stuff is now somewhat canon and includes Takodana. This is pretty uplifting, LOL, as Tales of the Jedi are some of my favorite Star Wars stories. That and waiting for the Blu-ray and listening to The Wampa's Lair, of course. Ah, we got another one staying out of The Wampa's Lair. I haven't read the old school Tales of the Jedi Old Republic stuff, so I don't really know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't either. I was wondering if it was something new, cause unless they actually borrowed Takodana from that, which would be very interesting.
I'd have to go
But it made me very interested, so I kind of want to look into that myself and maybe get some of those comics.
Give us a reading
Strange list. And puzzling this is. Meditate on this.
I will. Give us a reading list, Adam, and maybe we'll check it out.
Yeah, please. So. No, please do.
that'd be awesome. All right. So, Carl.
Yes?
What are some of the things that you do to stave off those valleys, those low points, the waning excitement?
Well, I will say seeing it for 11 times helped. I think the last time I saw it was – oh, gee. It's probably 3 weeks ago. It was 3 weeks ago yesterday. So it's been a few weeks since I've seen it. But from basically December until, you know, mid-February, I was seeing it at least once a week. So that certainly helped because you could continually plug back in. Now, I will say what was actually kind of neat was, you know, like that. Obviously, the first couple of weeks it was out, I probably saw it. Of those 11 times, I probably saw it 7 of those times within the first 2 weeks. So I was going pretty frequently, but I remember the first time where I waited an actual week where it was like a week between, I think it was between the 6th and 7th viewing or the 7th and 8th viewing. I don't remember which. Mm-hmm. It was actually really cool having that week to kind of digest and be away from it. And I'm not saying that like the you know, seeing it 6 times relatively in a row was not a good thing. It was amazing, but it was actually really cool stepping away for a little bit and then coming back to it. But yeah, that was obviously one way of just literally seeing it as much as I could, because it's so rare that we get, you know, well, it's been so rare to get a Star Wars film in the theaters. So,
yeah.
And I have not seen a movie since Force Awakens has come out, because I just keep saying to people, I'm like, I can't do it. If I go into a movie theater to see, I want to see Deadpool, but I can't see it because the theater out here that I would see it at still has Force Awakens. I'd feel like I'm cheating on the Force Awakens. I can't do it until it's out of that theater. I can't go see Deadpool. I want to see The Revenant, but same story. So
that's funny.
What about you?
Oh man. I didn't get to go see it that 7th time yet. I better check and see if it's still in the theaters around here quick, because yeah. It'll be out
soon. It is. Yeah, it is. It's trickling. It's making its way out for sure. I mean, I know there are still several theaters around here that have it in one of their theaters. There's usually like 2, maybe 3 show times in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to check and see if I might be able to go like this week or something. But as far as, you know, the last time I saw it was probably, gosh, a month and a half, 2 months ago, something like that. It was mid-January. So I've been listening to the soundtrack a lot. And, of course, podcasts, you know, catching up on podcasts, talking all about this stuff. So that's helped. But, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm getting to the point where I really want to go, you know, see it again, because it's been a bit. And it's not as ingrained in my brain as, you know, the other 6 at this point. So
sure.
I'm excited about the announcement of the, you know, the Blu-ray release and everything. So that's, you know, that's a good thing for me, having it to own. I've been picking up the occasional Star Wars action figure. I still stop at, you know, at the toy store, the toy aisle every time I go to the store to see what's there. I'm waiting for the Kanan and Ahsoka 6-inch figures right now. I really want to get those because those are going to look great. The last Force Awakens thing I bought was the Poe and Traitor Stormtrooper, the Riot Control Stormtrooper 6-inch 2-pack, which looks great, but the 6-inch Stormtrooper, his feet are kind of like curved, And so he doesn't stand up very well, so I have him leaning against the books on my bookshelf. He's actually leaning against the Star Wars Shakespeare collection at the moment.
Well, that's good at least.
Yeah. Yes. He needs some help standing up, and there's a lot of words in that. So, but yeah, the soundtrack is another thing that really helps to keep me going and keep that fire alive. But it is, I'm really getting to the point where I really want to see the movie again, and it's just finding time to go see it in the theater again one more time, or just sticking it out until the Blu-rays come.
Sure. Yeah, well, you just rolled a bunch of things into one. So whoops.
I've still got some others that I could bring up, you know, too.
I think the biggest thing, at least for a while there, was obviously just processing the film with you on here.
Yeah,
and that's such a huge advantage for us, having a podcast, is we can just kind of come on here, and anytime we have something we want to talk about, we can do that, which is great.
Yes.
So that's definitely helped. And I mean, hell, just in general, doing the Wampa's Lair obviously always keeps my Star Wars enthusiasm pretty peaked, which is great. Mm-hmm. With you, you know, I've listened to a lot of other Star Wars podcasts in the last month or two because I want to hear other people's take on The Force Awakens. But I think, yeah, one of the biggest things, though, which you've pointed out, Jason, is the soundtrack. I listen to that soundtrack very regularly. I mean, I work at a desk most of the days, you know, except for when I'm actually running programs. I essentially sit at a desk, which can be obviously kind of boring. I probably listened to through the Force Awakens soundtrack in its entirety at least twice a week. I've loved it more and more. And the reason I've loved it more and more is because of Star Wars Oxygen. You know, I mean, that show, specifically David Collins, he is incredible. The amount of love that I have for the music has skyrocketed in light of the couple episodes they've done on Oxygen about it. You know, it's given me such a deeper appreciation of the music for the film, because I think a lot of folks, when the soundtrack first came out, a lot of people were kind of disappointed in it. They
underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed. Exactly. Not disappointed. Underwhelmed. I was one of them. I remember getting it the day before it came out, and I listened through little bits and pieces because I didn't want to hear the whole thing until I saw the movie. Which is interesting, because if they had released it like a month early, like they used to, right, with the prequels, we got all those almost a month early. I'm sure I would have listened through the whole thing, but I listened to bits and pieces, and I was really disappointed and underwhelmed. And now it's right up there as one of my favorite Star Wars soundtracks. You know, there are some songs on this soundtrack that are incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really helped. And I mean, I posted this on our Facebook a while back, but I have never, ever in my life listened to Star Wars music in the gym, but I added the Abduction and the March of the Resistance to my workout mix just because they are like, they're almost like pump up songs. Now, granted, I can understand like Duel of the Fates, Battle of the Heroes; those are energetic songs, but just never did it for me. But there's something amazing about this. Oh yeah. Just makes you want to move weight. And I can always hear Han saying, "It's the resistance." So, you know.
This track.
Yeah. It's so much fun. But of course that just gets me excited about the movie. And thinking about the scene with that awesome shot of the X-Wings flying over the lake of Takodana or whatever. I mean, it's awesome.
It is.
So that keeps that excitement alive. And what's interesting too, and I think I've mentioned this earlier on in an earlier episode, but after that movie came out, a lot of times I would wear Star Wars t-shirts into the gym. I typically don't, just because my Star Wars shirts typically aren't gym shirts. But like, if I would be wearing one the night before, I'd just get up and go to the gym. I don't really change into clean clothes. It's the gym. Not one of those guys who like showers before the gym, puts cologne on. Don't get it. But
why would you shower before the gym?
You
shower
after the gym. There's some weird dudes. And yeah, whatever. Anyway, let's move on. Anyway. And it's so great because, you know, people would come up to me and be like, "Oh, have you seen the new movie?" And it's just like, yeah. And it's so cool because other people wanted to talk about it. And we've talked about this before, but a lot of people, I mean, this movie really piqued our culture's interest in Star Wars again. So even, you know, people that probably haven't watched a Star Wars film in 10 years really liked this movie and they want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that was definitely very helpful. Now, Grant, that stuff has kind of waned now. I don't think it's not as ingrained in the culture yet, but give it a few months and it will be, right? With Rogue One. And then a year later with, you know, we're going to have lots of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Tons of stuff. And yes, especially since The Force Awakens came out, I've really become known as the Star Wars guy at work. it is one of those things, and everybody comes to me with their theories and all this stuff. I had one guy especially who would come to me when he'd be, you know, looking the internet for random theories, and he was the one that was asking me about the Snoke is Plagueis theory and the Darth Jar Jar theory, and he was kind of in favor of both of those, and I was like, nope. You know, which we have chronicled here on the podcast before several times. You don't want to get me started on either of those theories, and I will destroy you. No. But yeah, I've really become that guy at work. And so if anybody has anything Star Wars to say, they come to me. Mm-hmm. So that definitely does help. But it's always a little fun when that happens. It's like, oh, hey, cool. You know, someone wants to talk Star Wars. So it's been a lot of fun in that aspect, especially right around The Force Awakens coming out and for the several weeks thereafter, I was the go-to guy. You know, everyone in the front office there was, you know, knew I was the Star Wars guy. And if they wanted to talk about it, they're like, so, Jason. Mm-hmm. it was funny. One of my HR guys, the HR manager, was like, hey, Jason, when you got a sec, come back and talk to me real quick. And it was like, okay. And then I went back there to talk, and he was like, so, you've seen the movie, right? I was like, what'd you think? And he wanted to talk about it for a little bit, and it freaked out one of my coworkers. Like, oh, what do you want to talk about? Oh my gosh, you know, you got to go see HR. He's like, oh no, he just wanted to talk to me about the new Star Wars. And she just sort of like facepalmed, but but it was funny. So that has been one of the cool things, and like you said, we've been able to discuss it ad nauseum here on the podcast, and we've worked it into all sorts of things. And I think last episode might have been our first episode where we didn't really talk about The Force Awakens since it came out. So
yeah.
We've done episodes where we incorporated in with some of our other stuff, some of our top five lists, some of our comparisons when we were talking about, you know, the heroes and those who gave the call to adventure. But I think last episode was our first one where we never really talked about The Force Awakens since it was released.
Right.
So we've been able to keep that going for quite some time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I think it's still popular. That's what Scott. A lot of new people listening to Star Wars podcasts is their interest in The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. One of the other things that some of the Larians mentioned to sort of stave off the waning excitement has been Rebels. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've also been watching. I'm a couple episodes behind at the moment. I need to catch up. I'm like two episodes behind, which like apparently I shouldn't be, because they're really, really good right now. So they're sort of heading towards the season finale, and it's going to be epic by all accounts. So I need to catch up on Rebels, but it's been a pretty good show this season. In my opinion, there have been some really, really good episodes, a few really good episodes. Most of season two has been good, but there hasn't been quite as many like standout moments to me this season as last season, until more recently. So, but this is my opinion at the moment. But it's been overall a good season. Mm-hmm. So, Have you been keeping up with Rebels?
No, I'm really behind. I think I'm like four or five episodes behind. I've just I got to catch up myself. But I've kind of heard some, the last episode I watched was the one with Leia, and and that episode was good. It wasn't great. It was good. But I've heard from a lot of folks that a few of these episodes have kind of been more filler episodes, you know, before we get to this big buildup. And a few of my friends have told me they're good, but you know, kind of what you just said, Jason, not as exciting as the last season. But it's important to keep in mind the last season was only 13 episodes, so you could get away with more. They're spreading stuff out more, obviously, in this season. And they also still, it was amazing, but also foolish to give us such an incredible premiere, right? Yeah. That was incredible. It was kind of hard to match that continuing on. And I thought they did. And I thought they did for a pretty long time there. You know, those first few episodes did a really good job of keeping that exciting momentum going. But from the sounds of things, it's waned a bit, which is fair. That's going to happen. But I'm sure it's still really good.
I think your next episode is the Zeb episode, and that's a really unique one.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that's a really good one, and there's some new Force stuff in there, which is cool.
Yeah.
I really need to get on that, so which I will.
Good.
But yeah, I know that's been helping a lot of folks. It's just, you know, that's a weekly show that's keeping people excited. And, you know, some of the learnings mentioned the comics. You know, I mean, we still have comic series. Pretty much every Wednesday we're getting a new Star Wars comic. I'm really behind on those as well. I'm just about up to date with Kanan, which has been my favorite series. Mm-hmm. Leia was a letdown. Lando, I stopped reading. I didn't care for it. I'm way behind on Darth Vader, but I hear it gets kind of meh. And same with even the Star Wars arc. I've heard that's getting a little meh. I will say I'm a little – I remember saying this years ago where all they did was Clone Wars stuff. Like we were stuck in the Clone Wars forever. I'm getting a little annoyed that so much of the extra media is stuck between episodes 4 and 5. I'm kind of sick of that already. I get why they're doing it because they can't really do – post Return of the Jedi stuff still, because we probably won't get any of that really until episode 9, because I'm sure they don't want to give too much away, which I get, but at the same time, you could still tell stories right after Return of the Jedi without giving anything away. So obviously we have like the Lost Stars or what is the other Aftermath, but I've not heard really anybody rave about Aftermath, so I have no interest in reading it. I don't have any interest in reading something about secondary characters. I want to read about our main characters.
I think I just heard they're releasing a Han Solo miniseries.
They are. Yeah, they're doing
but
a comic.
Guess what? It takes place between episodes 4 and 5.
Exactly, which is annoying because it's like we've got so many stories going on in this time frame right now. Like, what the hell? Come on, give us something else. I'm enjoying the Anakin. I mean, there's only been two comics so far of the Anakin Obi-Wan, but those have both been great. I think. Have you read those?
Yeah, I have read those. Yeah. That is, you know, it's nice to sort of, like you said, get out of that time frame, which is part of why I'm really enjoying Kanan too.
Right. It's good to get something in the prequels.
Yes, it is.
And even Kanan's doing a good job of going back, but it's going back to the Clone Wars, which again we've been there for so long. What I like about the Anakin Obi-Wan is it's before the Clone Wars. It's prequel era, but it's not Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm. It's between episodes 1 and 2, and it's interesting from Anakin's perspective.
Yeah. Well, Anakin's younger than
Anakin is talking about leaving the Jedi Order.
Yeah, which exactly. Is weird. Right.
And you don't understand. You know, you don't know the reasons behind that quite yet. I mean, it's flashing back.
Yeah, exactly. And it's cool seeing the Chancellor involved.
Yes.
Being very seeing involved. Mace Windu being a pain in the butt, like you would expect. that's the thing. I guess I'm just getting a little annoyed with all the between episodes 4 and 5 stuff. It's too much. That's everything right now. It's annoying.
Yeah. Can we at least maybe get some stuff between, you know, 5 and 6?
Yeah.
But then that would mean there's no Han Solo. We have to have Han Solo because Han Solo is Han Solo.
Right. But hey, you know, we don't have to. Or we could even have other stuff pre A New Hope. You know, there's so many stories you could tell besides just the Rebels story. So there's so many eras to play in, and they're playing in one very small one. So it's just, I guess that's just kind of what's frustrating.
Yeah.
Curious what other, you know, you Larians, feel free to voice your opinion. Maybe you, and maybe some folks love this, but I'm finding it getting to be a little old already, which was the same complaint I had with the Clone Wars. I loved Clone Wars. I loved the series. But I was also, like, when they canceled it, I was fine with it because I was ready to be into a different era. And that's all we were getting, too. I mean, we had the Clone Wars show. We had tons of comics. We had novels. It's like, but what about anything else? And that's what I feel like. Mm-hmm. Even some of the novels that have come out, they're between 4 and 5. Every comic, it's between 4 and 5. Like,
yeah.
It's all kind of pigeonholed into this very small little part of our story, which is a little annoying.
Yeah.
So.
Well, is there anything else that you really want to – that you – are using to bridge that excitement gap?
Kyle Baca pointed out Battlefront. I haven't been playing Battlefront that much lately, but I was for a long time. And now that you've got it, I'm very excited to start playing again. And I know that they're doing their first, like, you have to pay for it, but they're doing their first downloadable package, I think, in early April. And it's like, you can get, like, Jabba's Palace, which will be really cool to play in. And then I know or maybe that's this month, because maybe in April they're giving us a Bespin Cloud City one, which I can't wait to do. I'm hoping to get the Carbonite Chamber, maybe a Torture Chamber. what is wrong with me?
Oh, that would take an entire episode to talk about.
Battlefront has definitely helped keep that alive. But, you know, you insinuated, Jason, that, you know, you're still checking the toy aisle. Every time I go to Target, I'm looking at the toy aisle. I still will occasionally drive out to Toys R Us. Because for the longest time, I've been hunting for the Han Solo Force Awakens figures. I want the 3 3/4 and the 6-inch. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was at Target, and they had one Han Solo 3 3/4 inch. So I bought it right away. And it doesn't look that great. I mean, these Force Awakens toys, there's not much articulation to them, as you all know. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking for, and it's so funny because the Target I always go to, my friend occasionally will check it as well. And we have like a pact, like if we find two Hans, you know, we'll buy them and we'll just get, you know, pay each other for the other. He was there literally 2 days after I got my Han 3 3/4 inch. They had, the only 6-inch they had was Finn, again, and like a Stormtrooper. He goes there 2 days after me and he sends me a picture. He goes, they must have just restocked because they have one Han. I was like, because he obviously got it for himself, understandably. But I kept looking forever, and I was sick of waiting, so I bought one on eBay, and I'm very happy to have him now. And it looks amazing. My only critique of it is he doesn't have gray hair. I don't get why he's a brunette. Han's old. I love this toy. But I still do, even though I have him. Like, I'm still going to keep checking the toy shelves. I love that. I love like that excitement of just walking down a toy aisle and being like, yes, this is great. And seeing what's there.
There's a whole ton of stuff out there. And, you know, half of it is not even on my radar to buy. But it's just cool to see it all out there and to look at it and to see what people are buying nowadays and what they have the opportunity to purchase. And, you know, I have to be very picky because I'm running out of room and I don't want to spend too much money on collecting stuff. So I'm mainly sticking with the 6-inch line at the moment. But it's just always so neat to go down the toy aisles and see what's there and to sort of, imagine what it'd be like to have all of it. You know, I just want to take it all home with me.
I'm gonna just be a stickler for a second. I wouldn't want to take it all home. I think there's a lot of garbage that they've produced with The Force Awakens, and I'm sorry to say that, but there's collectors out there that'll buy anything Star Wars. Look at Rancho Obi-Wan, awesome place. But that's the one thing, and this was always one of my early concerns when Disney bought Star Wars, is the overpopulation on shelves of Star Wars products. Every time I'm in Target with my girlfriend, like, she likes to look down the makeup aisle and they still have like the L'Oreal Star Wars posters. It's like, what the hell are we making makeup for? It's Star Wars.
Fangirls like it.
Sure. And that's fine. I mean, it's not a critique of it, but then you see so many of these like cheap, stupid toys, in my opinion, that I just don't get. So it's easy for me to be selective about what I want, because obviously, like you, Jason, I don't have a ton of money. I can't just buy whatever.
Right.
I have limited space. I'm not going to buy something to put into a closet. That's just, I think that's a waste of money. And so like I'm buying what I want, what I think looks cool, what'll be fun to display. But I do think that there's a lot of garbage out there. I think there's a lot of like cheap stuff that we don't necessarily need. And they did the same thing with Phantom Menace.
Yes.
When Phantom Menace came out, they just, you know, and people are buying it. People will buy it. And it's funny because like I got some, and I'm not diminishing this, like some people are very nice at the church I work at. And, you know, I got some really fun little Star Wars gifts for Christmas. But a lot of the stuff is like things I would have never bought. And the thing is like you assume like, oh, it's Star Wars. Obviously, a Star Wars fan is going to like this. But I don't know about you, Jason. I don't want everything that's on the shelves. A lot of it I could care less about. And I think it borderline looks bad.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd say it looks bad because I feel like there's somebody who will buy it. But like I said, I'm very discerning about what I actually purchase. I'm mainly sticking, like I said, with a 6-inch line. If I see the Black Series 3¾-inch stuff at Walmart, I take a close look at that. But I haven't bought any of those yet. I don't know. Because that's the articulated 3¾-inch figures. But I'm not overly impressed with them yet. Mm-hmm. So, and there just aren't too many characters that I want to buy yet that are out. You know, you got your Luke Jedi, which I've already got a handful of. You know, they've got Han Solo. They have a Rey, but the sculpt doesn't look that great. And so I'm not going to spend the money on it right now. So, and I'm waiting for a Rey with a lightsaber.
They do have a 3¾-inch Rey with a lightsaber. It's the one with, she's wearing the outfit from the end of the movie.
Yeah. But that's a, is that a,
that's 3¾-inch. It's not black. And black series? No, it's not a black
3¾-inch.
No, it's not black series.
Okay. So it's the regular articulation, you know, 5 points of articulation.
Yeah. I think I said this, I took the, I have the 6-inch Bespin Luke figure, so I took his lightsaber and gave it to Rey.
Yes, nice. But I refuse to buy the 5 points of articulation figures. That's just not my thing.
Yeah, I
so
have.
I won't buy those.
I bought Captain Phasma on Force Friday just because I wanted a Captain Phasma. In light of her literally doing nothing in the film, I have no interest anymore in the 6-inch one.
The 6-inch one looks.
It does. Really it nice. Looks awesome. But I don't have anywhere to put it, so I'm not going to bother. But I bought the Han because I love Han. That's no reason. But it doesn't look that good. It's just interesting that like for the longest time, these figures, even the 3¾-inch, you know, they had all those points of articulation, which was great because that's especially great for, you know, older fans because it allows you to display them a little bit better.
Yeah.
These 5 points of articulation, all they can do is stand there. I'll say when I was a kid, remember like the Power of the Force 2 line from 1995, basically through 99?
Yeah.
They were always just, for the most part, for the first 3 or 4 waves, they were 5 points of articulation. I preferably loved that, though. I actually didn't like it when they started adding in all these other points of articulation because it made them harder to play with, I thought. I thought the 5 points of articulation were easier to play with because they didn't build so easily.
They're great for kids.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
That's what they're designed for. They're trying to get back to, you know, having kids buy these things too, you know, rather than just it being all the adult collectors, which is smart. But like I said, that's not for me. That's not my thing. And I'm, you know, 26 right now. So, you know, I'm not going to buy them. Right. But if the kids are buying them, that's amazing. That's great. And I think that's perfect for them.
You know, I just feel
and
bad.
If I had kids, I'd be buying them those.
Yeah. I just feel bad for the kids that can't find anything still. Because I think that's still an issue. A lot of stores, like you'll go in, they'll have a handful of 3¾-inch, but it's like characters nobody wants. I will say, the last time I was at one of the Targets out here, they had like 3 of the Hans on the shelf. They had 3 or 4 of the end of the movie Rays. They had a couple Kylo Rens. I almost bought the Kylo Ren 3¾-inch just because I love Kylo Ren. We're going to have to do, I can't wait for episode 8, but like he's becoming my favorite Star Wars villain very quickly.
Oh, nice.
I like him more than Darth Vader. So
wow.
Yeah, wow. I know. People are, oh man, we'll have to do an episode where we compare them sometime. People are going to hate me for it. Joe Hogan gives me such a hard time because I like Kylo Ren's mask way more than Vader's. I just think it looks way cooler. But
well, there you go.
You know, Vader is iconic, but doesn't have to be my favorite because of that.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And you know, I take that position a lot of
times. I'm well aware. I am safe with you, Jason.
You are safe with me. All right.
One last thing I was going to say, though, just because I want to give a shout out to my friend Greg. Greg, I met on Force Friday, and he and I have been playing the customizable card game from back in the day. So whenever he comes over, and we'll play that for like – it usually – one full game typically takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and it's so much fun. And he was over this past weekend, and we played a game. And whenever, even though, like the week before, I was so busy at work, I barely even thought about Star Wars, which is the first time in a long time that happened. But after playing the card game with Greg, like I immediately just wanted to run upstairs and throw in a Star Wars movie. And whenever we play, we have Star Wars music playing in the background, which is a lot of fun. So Greg kicked my butt this last time we played, though. That kind of stunk. But yeah, that game's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But, I suppose I should mention just real quick. One of the other things that sort of keeps me going is some of my Star Wars apps that I've got on my phone.
Nice.
I've got the Card Trader app, and then Kyle introduced me to this app. It's Galaxy of Heroes, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, which basically you get to, you know, collect and level up a bunch of different heroes from all eras of Star Wars and, you know, pit them against other people's teams and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it anyways. Mm. So there's all sorts of different, you know, challenges and, you know, levels that you can do. And it's a lot of fun. And so I've been playing that for months now.
Nice.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, now we just got to get you into Battlefront, Jason. You can start playing that.
We'll talk this weekend.
Yeah. So. Well, I didn't think the got to mention this, too, before we wrap things up. But obviously, we're all getting excited, too, because in less than a month from today, we'll have The Force Awakens on Blu-ray, DVD, digital HD, whatever you want it, whatever format you want it in, which is exciting because you said this earlier, Jason, we all know this as fans, until we have it owning it. And obviously mm-hmm. there are some people out there that who have like pirated versions of it, but they're all pretty crappy qualities. Mm-hmm. You know, until you have this official cut of the film, you can't quite jump into it the way we can these other things. You know, whenever we talk about something in Star Wars, whenever we're talking about a clip from the movies, even if you guys are listening to us, you could pause the darn show, you know, and run to your computer, run to your TV and watch something if you wanted to. We don't have that luxury quite yet with Force Awakens. And I think that's going to change the conversation again when we can all sit down and watch this thing four times in 1 week if we want to. So
without having to spend money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, except for the initial cost of buying it, which is never that much. But you know, I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait to be able to watch this thing at home multiple times and really delve into it and be able to play clips on the show and stuff so we can talk about them more. But you know, and we got all these great special features coming at us. So I'm going to read through the list of them right now. Secrets of the Force Awakens, A Cinematic Journey. So this is basically a documentary of behind the scenes of how they made this movie, which is going to be, I think, incredible to watch. You know, I don't know if you've had a chance to look through the art of the Force Awakens book, Jason.
I've paged through it just slightly when I've seen it at Barnes & Noble, but I haven't really had a chance to look at it in depth.
Yeah, I my friend Greg let me borrow his. I haven't finished reading it still, but I've read most of it, and it's just really cool to hear kind of what they were doing early on. So I'm excited to see that kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. I think that'll be really cool.
Definitely.
And then we have another segment called The Story Awakens, The Table Read. So I saw a great meme of, you know, remember that famous picture that came out?
Oh, yeah.
After they announced the cast. And there's this meme now where it zooms in on Mark Hamill and it's like a bubble over his head that says, I don't really need to be here. but yeah, no, so it's going to look at a little bit about like what that first day was like when they kind of read through the script together. And then you have Building BB-8. So you're going to see how they created that for the most part, practical effect. There are a few of those shots where they're running on Jakku and he's flying behind after them. That's digital. But the majority of the shots of BB-8 are obviously practical effects.
And of course, when he's bouncing around inside the Falcon, that's got to be digital.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's digital, yeah. And we have crafting creatures, blueprint of a battle, the snow fight. So they're going to look more in depth at the lightsaber battle, which is going to be really cool. Which, by the way, I didn't realize this until a few weeks ago. They actually had the lights in the blades themselves to kind of give a better sense of what the light would look like on their faces. So obviously in the past they've always done, I think they're like fiberglass or metal, lightsabers that they fight with. And they obviously just paint over it digitally with the colors. But for Force Awakens, they had actual light inside the lightsaber props themselves. So Kylo Ren had a red one, Rey had a blue one, and they wanted that more practical effect of how the glow would look on them, so they didn't have to do as much of it in post-production.
Yeah, they did that in Attack of the Clones too, with Anakin and Dooku. And there's when Anakin cuts the wires for the lights there, and all the lights start going out, and they have that little segment where, you know, the lightsabers just, you know, whizzing around their heads. You know that they did. I've seen behind the scenes photos where they had like the actual light up, you know, saber props for that. For those shots there so they didn't have to do the post-production work, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, that's so cool. I never know they'd done that before. I didn't know they did an Attack of the Clones. I thought that was the first time. That's really cool.
But it is cool that they did that with episode 7 too. I didn't know they did that for episode 7.
Yeah.
You
can see some pictures of it actually, if you look it up.
Oh, nice.
And we're getting another.
This one I'm looking forward to. This next one here.
Yeah, me too. I think a lot of people are. John Williams, the Seventh Symphony. So looking at his thoughts on Star Wars in general and The Force Awakens particularly, I have a feeling this is going to be a short one. I'm hoping not, but I have a feeling this is going to be like a at most 5 minute segment.
I want it to be 15 or 20 at least.
Me too, but I have a feeling it won't be. But you never know. You never know. And then we get some ILM stuff, the visual magic of the Force. This stuff never actually doesn't do it for me. I don't care about that stuff. The technical stuff isn't what does it for me personally. I'll watch it once, but I probably won't rewatch any of these things. Force for Change, looking at kind of, you know, how they obviously ran the Force for Change with UNICEF, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, kind of the impact that they had positively on, you know, the world before the movie even came out, which is really neat. The way they attached, you know, a good cause to this film. And then, of course, the last thing is the deleted scenes. And if you watched the trailer for the release of the Blu-ray, you got a snippet of that deleted scene where Kylo Ren, you know, boards the Falcon when it crashes onto Starkiller Base, which is great.
Whoa.
Yeah. Did you not see that?
No, I saw that the trailer came out. I just haven't actually looked at it.
Okay. It's really great. Should I play it?
Well, I can't see it.
Good
if
point.
You play it.
Yes. Never mind. it's on our page, so you guys can watch it if you want.
Yeah, it is.
And I know there's quite a few other deleted scenes that I think will be really cool. I'm hoping we get a few of those Maz Kanata scenes where she uses the Force.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping
that would be great.
Those are in there. So lots of great stuff coming out with the Blu-ray coming, and I, for one, cannot wait.
Have you pre-ordered?
I have not. You know, that's the thing. I've been thinking about where to do it, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do Amazon. I trust Amazon. I like Amazon. I have a Prime account. With a Prime account, they guarantee you'll get it delivered on April 5th when it comes out. I tossed up the idea of doing the digital release on April 1st just to get it those few days earlier, but I don't want it on iTunes because I don't have any Apple TV stuff, so I'd only be able to watch it on my computer. No, thank you. I could do Amazon Instant Video because I do have like an Amazon account on my PS4, so I could watch it there. But I also want to be able to, like, it's just like wait 4 more days and you can have the Blu-ray copy, you get a DVD copy, and you get the HD copy. So, and you get a really cool case. So I'm just going to wait the extra 4 days, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do the Amazon account. And I also like their box the most. There aren't any Walmarts that close to Boston, so I'm not going to worry about the Walmart stuff. Besides, I don't care about the BB-8 cover. Target's cover.
See, that's the one I want.
Sure, that makes sense.
I want BB-8 on my cover.
Yeah, I don't dislike it. I just, it's not my favorite. And then the Target cover is, you remember all the single poster shots they did of the main characters? It's all of them put into one picture for the cover. Yeah. So it's cool, but it's not my favorite. I like the one on Amazon looks to be like the classic one, which is just, you know, it's kind of the same as the soundtrack cover. It just says Star Wars, and then you have the Force Awakens poster kind of faded behind it. So that's what I plan on doing.
Yeah. The only thing that I may get the Target version is if they announce what that exclusive bonus content is.
Oh, they've already said it's just like an extended interview with Daisy Ridley and John Boyega. It'll be on YouTube within a month.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the thing. If it was something like really cool, that'd be worth it. But from like an extra interview, that's okay. And a lot of go ahead.
I'm gonna get the Walmart exclusive BB-8 cover because, you know, having BB-8 staring at me from my Blu-ray case is gonna be great.
Yes, so. Absolutely. I'd recommend that for you.
Yes, indeed. So, all right. Well,
yes.
Is that? It's going to be great. I can't wait. April 5th. That's less than a month.
April 5th.
So,
yes, that's it's like I think it's 3 weeks from Tuesday. Not more than that. It's 4 weeks from Tuesday. So we can do that. And for a lot of folks,
I'm a patient man.
Yes, it's still in theaters for most people anyway. If you really can't wait anymore, just go see it.
Yeah, see it one more time. And then, you know, get the Blu-ray.
Yeah, DVD
combo.
I am still tempted to see it for one last time, and I'd like to go within the week just because I want to. I actually do want to wait a few weeks without seeing it before it comes out on Blu-ray because that'll make me even more excited.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. What is that from? I don't remember. Anyway, sorry. I feel like that's from a Clone Wars episode. Anyway, I can't remember where. Anywho, so are we ready to start wrapping this up?
Yeah, I think we're good to go, Jason.
All right. Of course, folks, we want to give you our new poll for this episode. We've hit this topic before with the rest of our movies, but we haven't hit it for episode 7. So we want to know what your favorite track from the Force Awakens soundtrack is. We did this with the rest of the movies, but we want to know what your favorite track of the Force Awakens soundtrack is because, you know, we've been listening to it and we're sure you have been as well. So I'm really curious to see what everyone thinks. I'm pretty sure I know what the top several are going to be, but I'm curious to see what order that all ends up in and where the votes lie. So, Carl, if they want to weigh in on that poll or anything else, where can they do that?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslayerpodcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslayer, or shoot us an email at wampaslayerpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Anything else before we wrap up this episode, Mr. DeClaire?
No, I'm good. We finished the Return of the Jedi radio drama, so we just got an ending of a show for once.
Wow, we're just ending right here, folks. Well, this has definitely been nice after a week or so off, so I'm excited for the forthcoming Blu-ray and getting my Battlefront up and running. But until next time, this has been episode number 172 of the Wampus Lair podcast, coming down from Jakku. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.